Okay, so we are on week six. Can you imagine? 6 weeks have gone past
Oh,
already.
can't
So we've
believe
only
it.
got two more weeks to go. But as I did say previously, when I've pulled together the other one, which I'll probably start in January, the other one will definitely start in January. This one that we're doing now will start in January for whoever, and I'm praying that a few people actually buy the workshop and do it. But I will be also doing the next one that God's laid on my heart, it alongside that other one, maybe on a different day or something. And each one of you, whoever wants to continue with it and do it, just let me know, and I might just take this one out of the table of transformation and just keep it separately so that we can still use this link to continue in January. So it's for you to just pray about and think about, and if you want to do that, that would be great. So, but today we are going to be dealing with, what does it mean, or how do you love yourself? So, one, there's a worldly, selfish way of loving ourselves. And then there's a selfless, in God way that we love ourselves. Moving on from last week, it says we are are a seed that God planted in our mother's womb. Yes, he used our mother and our fathers to produce and create that seed. But he was the one, if we go to Psalm 139, from 13 to 18, I believe it is. But it says, for you, God, we're talking to God here, for you, God, formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in the secret place, intentionally woven in the depths of the earth, he provides for us. He has provided for us this body, the soul. We are now responsible to love it and look after it. It's not only he's given us this body, but it's a gift to us as well. And our souls more so than our bodies, but the two are combined, okay, with our spirits, of course, three in one. So, having gone through the seeds of our lives, those we've have been sown in by others, and those we've sown in ourselves, those we've recognized as death seeds, and those we've recognized as life seeds, and working on those seeds, we need to begin to love ourselves as God loves us. For when we go to the Lord to inquire of Him what is needed, because He created us, right? So he knows our body. He knows our souls. He knows everything about us because he knew us in our mother's womb. And we need to work alongside him so that all the goodness and all that the Lord has inhabited within us, we can learn to love and allow to come to fruition in our lives so that we can become. In him, we are already, but here on earth, we become what he's created us to be. The key is knowing where to begin. The world, if you take the world when it says improve yourself, it always looks at the outside. Do you have the right shape? Whether that's your face, whether that's your body, everything's about the right. Are you doing the right exercises? Are you eating the right foods? Everything's external. But God looks at the heart. It's the heart of the matter that starts the process that works outwardly. In Proverbs 19, verse 8, it goes further and it says, whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover goodness. Now, in the TPT translation, it says, do yourself a favor. Love wisdom. Do yourself a favor and love wisdom. Learn all you can. Now I can't even read my... And then watch your life flourish and prosper. Now he's talking about our souls there. Our soul prospers when we begin to be who the person we were created to be. We begin to prosper. Firstly, inwardly, as Gail was sharing on Sunday about the joy, it's got to start inwardly before the happiness can abound and be outward. But the joy, the inward is where we need to deal with things firstly. As I said earlier, that God looks at the heart, because if you go to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So we need to make sure that our hearts are right, because if you remember that, what's the one scripture is that what's in the heart overflows out the mouth, and that becomes a physical thing. So basically what's in your heart is what you will be doing for yourself, to yourself, with yourself, etc., etc. Okay, so basically we have to learn, and that was very, very hard for me to do. I'm still learning that, to love myself. It's an ongoing process for me. I know, as Wendy said, my parents never said that I wasn't good enough. But to the same point, I suppose, my mother more than my father, there was always things that I had to improve on. And if you've always got to improve on something, you never think that you're good enough. Because it's not good enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know it sounds stupid, but basically clean up your room. You go and clean it, but it's still not good enough. It's not good enough to her standard. So I failed. So now I've got to go and clean it again. And then it's still not good enough. And I've got to go clean it again. Now, if it was just that area, it would be fine. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying don't teach your children to clean their rooms. No, I'm not saying that at all. But the one thing that I did with my kids is that I told them to clean their rooms, and they did, and they would go off and play. I would go behind and straighten up where they couldn't. You see what I mean? So at each stage, as they got older, I would say, that's a great job, but you just missed a little bit there. Would you like me to help you? So it wasn't like you didn't do it good enough, but I'm willing to help you. I'm willing to be there for you. I think I did that with Robin more than Alex, because Robin still doesn't get her bedroom right. So, you know, but then again,
when you just close the door.
But then again, on her behalf, she has actually only lived in a bedroom for a number of years, because she's house shared. So everything that she owns goes into that bedroom. And sometimes when you're an introvert and you're not really very outward, you do tend to cycle around in there. So her mom comes every now and again and just kicks her out of her room and tidies it, and or just says, come on, girl, let's do it together, you know. But you understand what I'm saying is sometimes we have this even what you were saying, Wendy, about the fact that, you know, that weed of doubting yourself and that it'll never, is because there might be an area where you don't love yourself. Maybe it's because you think that you're weak, or that you've allowed things into your life that shouldn't have ever been there. It doesn't matter. You still need to love yourself. And for me, since learning to love myself, I have gained a lot of confidence in who God created me to be. Not necessarily who I am, because I know I'm changing. God never changes, but I'm changing. And I pray that I'm changing to be more and more like him as he planned and purposed me to be. And that's the confidence by which I can love myself. Because he created me. He doesn't create anything that's substandard. He doesn't create anything that's less than worthy of his workmanship. His very breath is in me. And if his very breath is in me, then I am more than a conqueror and can learn to love myself. I recognize my weaknesses, but the Bible also says where I am weak, he is strong. And that just indicates how really essential it is to work alongside and to partner with God in your life. Because when you do that, you do become a whole person, because you're partnering with Christ in your life. It helps you to overcome areas that you wouldn't otherwise be able to overcome. And that doesn't mean that we don't have days where we slip and fall. We all have days where we slip and fall. But you know what I've noticed in all the counseling, in all the workshop, this type of thing that I've done with people, one-on-ones, is that when we've been dealing with areas in their life, right, they will start off and we will be walking together. Just say they're eating a chocolate, but now it's a whole bar of chocolate, one of the big ones, okay? And they eat it every single day. But now we go through it and we're talking about it and we align a scripture to it. Then you find out that, okay, the next time, the next week I see them, they've gone 3 days and then had a bar of chocolate. Gone 2 days, had a bar of chocolate. Gone 3 days without a bar of chocolate. Then we go the following week. They've gone 4 days without a chocolate, maybe a day or two, and then 4 days. So the time between having a bar of chocolate begins to get further and further and further apart, because it's being renewed and you've been revitalized to know that you can do it with Christ. But to the same point, if you have been set free, for example, from alcohol, you wouldn't willingly, okay, it's different. I don't know what Canada's like. I know in South Africa, I don't know if it's changed now or what, but in England, we have basically a pub on every single corner. And that's where people meet, is the pub, okay? Now, if you were a recovering alcoholic, you wouldn't specifically put yourself into a pub where you know that you can, your weakness can take control. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, also to the same point, for me, chocolate is a weakness for me. So when I go to the shop, I don't buy a bar of chocolate anymore. I buy a little pack with, just say, for example, 7 Kit Kats in. That's one a day, if I want it. And it's in my drawer, and I've trained myself that I'll have it if I really need it, or if it's in my planned menu for the day. But I can control that. Whereas if I open up a bar of chocolate, a big one, to me, it's got to be finished. Like my romantic novels, okay, when I start it, I have to have it finished before I go to bed. So I know that that for me is a good trait, but it's also a bad trait. It's a good trait when God lays something on my heart, I will finish it. But it's a bad trait when it takes control of you to do that. So I had to learn to love myself through that, through letting go of novels, through letting go of buying a big bar of chocolates. And I do love myself. I've learned to love myself. As I say, there are still days when I might feel a little, where the enemy comes and says, oh, remember this, remember that. Then a good South African saying is footsack devil, which means goodbye devil for Molly. Goodbye devil, you're no longer required in this area, in this space. Yeah. And I might have to say it 60 times to begin with in one day. But now, maybe once a week, I have to admonish him and tell him to get back to hell where he belongs, because I've been set free. God's taught me to love me for me, my warts and all, because he's dealing with the warts alongside me helping him. So even though there may be things that we don't like about ourselves, we don't have to hate ourselves. We must love ourselves. In Ephesians 5, verse 29, it says, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Now, for me, the first part of the scripture didn't really, when I read that and I was going through my journey of loving myself, the first part didn't really speak to me, but the second part did, which is just as Christ does the church. So just as Christ loves the church, we have to love ourselves, which means it's a godly way of loving yourself. So, and then as I began to think about that, as Christ loves the church, so therefore as he loves me, I must love myself, I was reminded, going back to Psalm 139, where he made me, he wove me together, every single part of me. He knew me before he even started creating me in my mother's womb. He had a picture. He had a vision of me before then. It's now my responsibility to line myself up with that vision, with that creation, with that plan and purpose. In Romans 13, verse 8 to 10. Okay. It was quite a, when I was going through it, and even now, it seems like a scripture that's out of context in maybe what we're doing, but it, why I'm sharing it is because it spoke to me in such a way, and this is part of where some of your homework, you'll understand as I read through it, I've just pointed each of them in there. So if it doesn't speak to you, please just ignore it, okay? But here it says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And another commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So as the Lord does with me sometimes, is he made me begin to think about, in loving myself, how have I committed adultery? In loving myself, how have I committed murder? In loving myself, how have I stolen? Okay. And in loving myself, how have I coveted or not coveted? So one of the areas which all of you know, I started when the first challenge started, was going back to my eating plan. Because that is one area where God said to me, basically, I was murdering myself because I was eating and I knew that I was not eating correctly. I knew that I wasn't nourishing my body the way that God wanted me to, because firstly, he had set me free from eating a couple of years before. He took me into being a consultant for people to lose weight. And I was a team developer. So I not only helped people, but I helped team consultants. And yet I put all that weight back on because I was either too lazy, too depressed, too whatever, to be bothered with thinking about what should I be putting in my mouth. So a while ago, I started getting pains in my head, and I was having I don't know if any of you have, but there's adverts, but I've also seen strokes, and I began to feel those things in my body. And I knew then that I had not done what God had asked me to do. Okay. And that for me was a very serious warning. Yeah. Apart from not sleeping correctly either, because I was doing all the shifts under the sun. So basically, in that sense, I was murdering myself. That's how harshly God had to speak to me to get me to sit up and wake up. Because I looked at my mom, okay, what my mom had wasn't anything to do with that. I don't believe any of her hard work caused what she had. But the fact is, I just thought, I'm like my mom. Until I learned that my mom was ill. Then I thought, oh, shoot. Maybe I better relook at my life again. Maybe I need to rethink about things. So that's why I've listed. So I have listed adultery. I've listed all those. So if none of it speaks to you, don't worry about it. It's not there to confuse you or anything. It's just whatever God highlights so that you can make notes against that. Let me get up. I didn't have time to write it out, so I'm hoping that I will have it up. The other scripture, while I'm getting it out, is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8. Let me get it quickly. Okay, so on the second part, or on there is listed these ones as well. So love is patient. Are you patient with yourself? Do you give yourself a break if you do slip and fall? Or do you beat yourself up? Love is kind. Are you kind to yourself? Or do you criticize yourself all the time? And bang yourself, you know, smack your bottom all the time you do something wrong. Okay? It does not envy. Oh, I wish I had a body like that. Oh, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Okay? It does not boast. Oh, I've got the best body ever. Okay? It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. So every time you slip up and fall, it keeps no record of wrong. Forgive yourself, move on. It's easier said than done. I admit that one's easier said than done, but it's there. So it keeps me in check. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So do you persevere with yourself? If you've tripped and fallen in an area again, do you persevere with yourself? Love never fails. Okay. The rest of verse 8 is, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. But basically, love never fails is the part of verse 8 that pertains to what we're doing here. Is that when we love ourselves, and that's something that I'm still learning, is that when we love ourselves, love never fails. So we don't love ourselves because we've got the best body, or we've got we are so clever, or we've got our eating plan together, or anything like that. We love ourselves because we are created in the image of God that God designed. We love ourselves because that's what he asks us to do, so that we can sow good seeds, that we can look after ourselves and live the planned life that was designed for us to live. So just one of the things that I kind of did go into a little bit was just going back to the previous verse, and that is about adultery. And I said, Lord, I actually went and looked up what adultery means, and it means intercourse between a married person and someone other than their spouse. So I thought, Lord, how do I apply adultery to my life? There's no sexual intercourse with myself, you know. But then the Lord took me to when he called Israel an adulterous nation, an adulterous people, should I say, not nation, people. And it's because they had veered off from loving him. So when we veer off from loving ourselves the way that God calls us to love ourselves, we become adulterous, because we are looking at. So basically, please forgive me. I'm just trying to use this terminology, or trying to use this example. It is not a factual example. It's the only one that I could think of at the time. But basically, when you look at yourself and you think, my nose is not right, I'll have plastic surgery. Now, I'm not knocking. There are times when it's necessary. What I'm talking about is the heart behind it. Okay. And then you go out and you change it because you think it's not good enough. And basically what you're ultimately saying is, God, what you created is not good enough. Okay. So that's just an example. I'm not saying, if anybody's been for plastic surgery, or anybody intends to go for plastic surgery, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is that when we think that we're not good enough, and we try and change the outward or the inward appearance, which is something that God didn't create, we turn it into something God didn't. That is adultery. When we turn something that God's given us into something that it shouldn't be, that is adultery. So that's quite a weighty one for today, but hopefully it'll be lighthearted in what you do with your homework. And then there is one scripture, which I'll just get it up again as well. One other scripture that really spoke to me and really sealed it for me in loving myself and learning to love myself is that 1 John 4 verse 19. It says, we love because he first loved us. We can love ourselves because he loves us. not for any other selfish reason, but because Jesus loves us. And if Jesus loves us and he accepts us, warts and all, goodness, badness, strengths, weaknesses, then we need to learn. Because once we can love ourselves, we can walk in confidence of what he's called us to and who he's called us to be. It's when we don't love ourselves that we have all these insecurities, all these fears, all these worries about, will I offend this person? Will I be doing that? Will I be doing that? Doesn't mean that we can't, don't read something into what I'm not saying. Yes, we still need to be sensitive to people. We still need to put a guard at our mouths and speak when the Holy Spirit prompts us to speak and say the words that he's given us. But what I'm saying is for us, we will become all that God has created us to be when we learn to love ourselves. Right. Are there any questions? Or do you want a little bit of time just to think and make notes just for a few minutes? You've probably all been very good in making notes right throughout.
Yeah.
Okay, any questions? Anything you want to ask or anything you want to share?
No, I just really like the way that you've taken these scriptures and turned them inward. Instead of normally when we read it in as if looking outward at others. But having turned it inward now, when you say, you know, don't worry if it doesn't say anything to you, this really spoke volumes to me today. It's really when you take it and turn it inwards, it just actually really resonates with you, you know, how much God really, that is how much God really loved us, that he gave us this tool to be able to look at ourselves and figure out that there's things that we need to take into consideration.
That's how much he loves us, and that's what he calls us, you know. I know people say that you have to be filled up to overflow, right? But if you're not filled up with love, and I think of that other scripture where it says that I can't remember where it is now, but basically the Lord will only give you a little bit to see how well you look after it before he can give you even more. And we are that little bit. If we got to love ourselves as our neighbors, we got to love ourselves. If we can't love ourselves, how can we love our neighbors?
Yeah.
How can we do anything out of love if we can't love ourselves? You know?
Yeah,
and that's just the way. And I know probably theologically using the scriptures like that is not correct, okay, but I'm just sharing with you how God spoke to me to teach me how to love me. Now he might use other scriptures for you, and that's okay, and that's good, because it's you're uniquely made in his image, in his creativity. But the fact is, the Holy Spirit wants you to learn to love yourselves. That's the main message. If you think of anything else, that's what is the main thing. Learn to love yourselves. Your warts and all. That doesn't mean you don't go and get those warts removed. That doesn't mean that you don't go and change a bad habit.
But
you don't do it out of despising yourself. You don't do it out of, well, it offends other people. You do it because you love yourself. Like my changing my eating habits is because God said to me, do you love yourself enough to change? If you were a celiac, would you continue to eat wheat? If you were allergic to nuts, would you continue to eat nuts? Okay, that's just as simple. And so certain foods, I have to look at those foods as if I was allergic to it. Doesn't mean I can't ever have it, but I need to look at it as if I'm allergic to it for me, for myself, because that safeguards me from overeating it or from eating it at all. Because sometimes certain foods, you can just have a little bit, and that just sets off that pattern of, okay, I've got to have more.
I mean, bread's one of them. I just have to walk past the bread bin and the flipping kilos jump on me. You know what I mean? It's definitely a change of mind, you know? Like saying, I'm going to go on a diet. You can't. It's a change of life.
Do you know what diet stands for?
No, tell me.
Dare I eat that?
No, I dare not eat anything that's got starch in it.
That's what diet is. Whereas I agree with you. When I used to do my classes for weight, I used to say to them, you can either be on a diet, dare I eat that, or you can say to yourself, I have to make new life patterns where my food is consumed.
Yes, yeah.
And that is the key. It's the same as with loving ourselves. We have to make new choices. We have to make new decisions of why we want to love ourselves, because Christ loved us and because we are worthy of that love. And in that, we will grow to be who he's called us to be.
Vanessa, I don't know now if what I'm saying is right, but I'm just thinking of me personally, and what Wendy was saying earlier on. You know, you had those one or two days where you just feel maybe a bit worthless or whatever. But with myself, I find that if I have woken up, I've spent my time with God, I've been in his presence, you almost feel your worth, you know, then almost when your relationship with him isn't going so well, or you're not making the time, or you're not putting into the effort to have that relationship with him, that's when you feel, okay, a little bit worthless, or you're not, it's more difficult to love yourself. I don't know. I find that with myself. Because I know in the last couple of months, weeks, for the first time, and I find it very difficult to love myself, that God has been showing me things because I'm spending time with him. And you do start thinking, you know what, this is how God made me. He obviously wants to maybe improve on certain areas, but he gives me the strength to do that. So, I almost... Again, you've got to be careful. You don't want to become too proud. I definitely think I think a bit more about me. I'm talking now as a person than what I did a few weeks or months ago. And that, to me, it's spending time with him and, reading his word.
In a nutshell, what you're saying is if you don't get time to spend with the Lord, then it's easier for the enemy to come and make you feel worthless.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, that was well said. That's what I mean.
That is exactly what
it's exactly about. Like that. Exactly like that.
I know. Yeah. Thank you. No. Okay. So when I got to that stage, where there's certain things that I have put in place for me that I do. So the minute I open my eyes, I say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for this day. And may I do everything that you've planned and purposed for me to do today.
Yeah.
That's it. Then I open my eyes. Okay. So that, because if Marshall's in the bed, in essence, I don't want him to know that I'm awake until I've spoken to the Lord. Okay. That's just me. All right.
Yeah.
Then I open my eyes, and if he's awake, then we can start talking. So if for any reason I don't get to spend time with the Lord that day, I have still said I've acknowledged him in my life. I've asked him to guide me. I've asked him to lead me. Okay.
Yeah.
And then one day I did that, And I didn't get time to spend with him at all that day. Just things happened, one after another. And I said, oh, Lord. I felt exactly like you. Oh, everything's gone wrong today because I didn't spend time with you. No, no, no. He just gently said to me, Vanessa, when you wake up in the morning, and he was talking about when I open my eyes, and Marshall says good morning, and you both say good morning, and you get out of bed, and your day goes so hectic that you don't get to spend time with them, and you might, at that time I was still doing nights, so you might not get to see him until the next day.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wouldn't see him for 2 days. Okay. Uh-huh. But I would phone him every now and again or text him or whatever. So we connect that way. And that's basically what God said. During the day, you can say, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't had time to spend in your word today, but I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you're helping me. Okay. So that just takes the enemy's bow and arrow out of his hands. Yeah. And he cannot shoot that at you anymore. Because God has given us the grace. I'm not saying that it must become a lifestyle, but He's given us the grace to have those days, because he's still with us. We might not always have set aside time that day to be with him, but we still acknowledge him throughout the day. So we have the same connection as if we'd spent a half an hour, an hour, 6 hours in the word. It doesn't matter. We've still got that connection. And that helped me, not straight away, but it helped me to overcome the fact that, okay, Lord, I haven't spent as quality time with you today, but I thank you that tomorrow will be a better day. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's taking the sting of the enemy. Think about this. If you get stung by a bee, it stings. But if you remove that sting from you and you put whatever it is, calamine lotion, antiseptic, whatever, it clears it out instantly. It doesn't. But if you don't, if you leave the sting in, it festers and becomes poisonous. Okay?
Yeah.
So take it out as soon as. It doesn't mean that it didn't sting. Doesn't mean that it. You know, but if you deal with it correctly, take it out, put whatever it needs to have on it to heal it quicker, it doesn't affect your life as if you leave it in. It's when we leave it in and we agree with the enemy, yes, we're worthless because we haven't spent time with God. Yes, we're not good enough because we haven't had that 3 hours that we planned to have with him. The Bible says that he is accuser of the brethren. And he goes before Jesus and accuses us day and night. Okay.
I think something that helped me a lot is, you know, understanding the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our life as well.
Yeah.
I was also one that used to condemn myself terribly because I didn't do my quiet time every day for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or half an hour or 3 hours. And I mean, the condemnation was incredible because I was busy, 5 children and always making things. And then when you realize that the Holy Spirit, God has sent the Holy Spirit to you to be your comforter and your counsel and your teacher and all those things. We know what the Holy Spirit is. And realizing that your communion, when you take God's word into your heart, like he says to us in the word, take my word into your heart. And when the time comes and you find that you are being condemned by Satan or by somebody who is using somebody to condemn you or make you feel bad or whatever, the Spirit is with you. He walks with you constantly, 100%. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. He's always there. And it's becoming that. That's why when we say that greeting at the end of the day, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is constantly there with you. You can constantly fellowship with him. And he, after all, is the one that intercedes between you and God. He's the one. When you pray and when you commune with God, the Holy Spirit is the one that is actually doing the communication. He's the one that's interceding for us all of the whole time. So when you go and you find that instance where you are, perhaps you get this knock and all of a sudden you recognize the moment that you feel like you're falling into this little bit of a pit or you're going into a little bit of depression or whatever, is acknowledging the Holy Spirit straight away and saying, Holy Spirit, I feel, and tell him, I feel like I'm going into a pit right now and I need you to intercede for me. I need you to help me get out of it, you know, and straight away, he will give you, he's given you, you've got the fruits of the Spirit within you and he's going to bring you out of it. You know, and same with the condemnation, you know, as soon as you get condemned about something because you're too rushed, bring the Spirit into whatever you're doing at that particular time. Mm-hmm. So even if you're running and you haven't had time to get in the Word today, but now you're running the kids to school or you're doing granny duty or whatever it is that you're doing, bring the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's our friend. He's our comforter. He's everything. He's a person. He's a being. Bring him into that situation that you're finding yourself in. So when you're preparing or you're at work at night and you're finding things difficult, just talk to him. Holy Spirit, you know, intercede for me right now and talk to him like he is your friend. And you'll be surprised how quickly that turnaround can happen, where you can find yourself being brought out. He will bring you out of that situation that you find yourself in. And he will do the interceding that you need in order to, you know, because sometimes when we find ourselves in those difficult situations, it's difficult when you're having that feeling of depression, you just don't feel like doing anything and you just feel like nothing. And it's very difficult when you bring the Spirit into something or ask him to intercede for you to stay where you're at. It's very difficult because he's going to work in that situation that you're finding yourself in, and you're going to find yourself really feeling a lot better about yourself.
Yeah.
Mindful for this word.
Yeah.
No, I remember being taught that if you feel condemned, it comes from the enemy, whether it's through a person or a thought. But when you feel convicted, because the conviction is gentle, is the Holy Spirit.
It's from the Spirit.
This needs to change, or this needs to be done, or that needs to stop. So that's the difference. If you feel condemned and you feel worthless, that's from the enemy. Yeah. If you feel convicted but know that you can do it, that's from the Holy Spirit.
No.
And that's helped me tremendously through changing habits, through seeing myself in who God created me. And the nice thing about loving yourself is you discover new parts of yourself that you didn't know were there. You know, it's a self-discovery. That's the whole point. Yep. It's self-discovery. So, right.
And it's also getting, I mean, the scriptures that you've given us today, they, you know, if you just take those scriptures, and there are so many more, that tells us who we are in Christ and what he thinks about us, what God thinks about us. Yeah. And, you know, make a list of those things. And when you wake up in the morning or you're feeling a little bit, you know, that you're not worthy, just take that list and just remind yourself. Just go and pick it up. Put it on the back of your toilet door, for Pete's sake. You know, and when you're sitting on the toilet, just read through them. And it's that little seeds every day of that are going to be planted in you, that eventually it's going to become a habit. You're going to feel that unworthiness come over you, and straight away you're going to counteract it because you know it's not true.
Yeah. It's asking God for a personal scripture, and I have a few, okay, for different situations that I use. So basically when something is basically, if somebody's come against me, right, then the scripture about no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And it's not, it takes my focus off the person. And another thing is the scripture, oh, now it's just gone out of my mind, is the one that where it says you fight not against against people, but you, principalities and powers and things like that. So that also takes my focus off the person that might be delivering something that, and it can be another Christian, it can be Joe Blogs down the road, it doesn't matter. It takes my eyes off them and it puts it straight up to the Lord. And then I say, okay, Lord, I now hand you the situation. If my tongue needs to be used, please use it according to what you want to say to that person, not according to what I want to say to that person.
Yeah, yeah.
You see what I mean? So there's just scriptures that, and I know that I've kind of forgotten them now, but when the time is there, because I've learned and I've trained myself to use them, they are automatically there.
Yeah.
And that's what the Holy Spirit says. Do not worry about what you're going to say or what you're going to do, because I'll be there to remind you.
Yeah.
So, right. So is there, we didn't actually open up in prayer, did we? But we will close in prayer. So anybody want to close in prayer or? No? All right, let me close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this time. Holy Spirit, we thank you for opening our eyes and our ears and our minds and our hearts to everything that you have for us today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we go into this week, that you will teach us and train us and help us to love ourselves as you want us to love ourselves. And we will give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for doing that. I pray for each one of these ladies this week. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give them new sight into what the areas that they're battling in. That they will see it for itself and not for what the enemy wants them to see it for. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the work that you so willingly do in our lives. May we partner with you this week. May we walk alongside you and include you in everything that we do. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.